All right, hey, here's a couple things I want to do. One, I want to introduce myself. Hi, my name is Jermaine Harrison. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from control, comfort, a critical spirit, and performance-based acceptance. There we go. We'll get better and better at it every single week. So that's the first thing I wanted to do. The second thing I want to do is kind of set the tone for this room going forward in future weeks. So I'd love for everyone to just show me your Regeneration for Students book, your booklet, your curriculum. Let me see everyone has one. Love it. Love that. Okay. Here's what I would encourage you to do. During this big group time, every week we're going to have someone lead us in worship like Elijah just did. We're going to have a student share their testimony, and then we're going to learn from God's word. And so I'd encourage you to grab your Bible, grab your curriculum, have a pen handy. There's lots of space in your curriculum to kind of write notes in the margin as the testimony is being shared or as we're walking through the Devo for the night. And so I'd encourage you to do that because I really do think you remember what you write. And so as you're taking notes, as the testimony is being shared, or as we're spending time in God's word, I think it'll help you just kind of solidify what you're hearing and what you're learning. And you can always go back and reference it in your booklet. I know some of you probably have your own personal journal, and that's great too. But I want to encourage you to be attentive, to be taking notes, because the Lord has something for you tonight. Even in the songs that we just sang, one, we sang a song about the fact that we're fighting a battle that God has already won. Because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Guys, whatever you've walked into this room battling, fear, anxiety, shame, hurt, sin, addiction, whatever it might be, you are fighting a battle that is already won. Because of Jesus and because of his love for you. So that's abundantly clear. And that's what we're reminded of in that first song. And then the second song just brings up that reality that while it is true that we are fighting a battle that has already been won by the finished work of Jesus on the cross, there's still a journey that we're on. A journey of walking through this life of dealing with our hurts, dealing with our pain, dealing with our struggle. And the best way to deal with whatever may have you here at Regeneration for Students is the title of the song, Abide. That like whatever is going on in your life, whatever the hurt, whatever the struggle, whatever the challenge, the battle has already been won because of what Jesus did on the cross. And now you have an opportunity all along the way to abide with him, to invite Jesus to inform your heart, to inform your mind, to transform the way you think and view the world and view yourself. And so I just love that the Spirit allowed us to sing those two songs that have a message that is really important for every single one of us. So that's the first thing. Second thing is I'd love for you guys to spend the next few moments listening to my friend Molly Zena share this God's story of grace at work in her life. So, Molly, take it away.
Hi, everyone. My name is Molly Zena. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from anxiety, control, and intrusive thoughts.
Hey, Molly.
I've grown up in a Christian home, and throughout all my childhood, my parents portrayed the love that Jesus had for me very well through their actions. For a long time, I've always wanted the ability to control everything around me, and my lack of control created a sense of anxiety within my life. During my freshman year, I began struggling, especially with anxiety and OCD, and it started to become a daily battle when I would begin to believe the lies that were becoming a part of my daily routine. The devil was so clearly spreading lies in me that I began to believe about myself, and this caused my intrusive thoughts to become out of control, and I would begin obsessing over things that hadn't happened yet, and this caused a lack of joy and peace within my life. It became a daily battle that I was unaware of how to overcome. After sharing my struggles with my parents, they reminded me of John 10:10, which says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This became one of the verses I often still remember as I was walking through this season and as I still struggle today. After further discussion with my parents, we decided it would be best for me to begin Region for Students. Region helped me realize that healing does not come from anything I can do, but through trusting in the Lord alone, and that the Lord has provided me with community all around me so that I'm never alone in my struggles. I began experiencing shame and guilt for the thoughts that I had no control over, which was causing me to not fully grasp the Lord's love and grace for me, as I constantly was left feeling too far gone, which I honestly am still trying to figure out. I hid my struggle so well that no one was aware of the things that I was going through, as it was and still is a challenge for me to be fully known. For me, it is such a great reminder that the one who knows the most about me is the one who would do anything for me and who loves me unconditionally. After I went through Region, my relationship with the Lord became very off and on, and I began spending the bare minimum of my time with Him. During my sophomore year, I got involved in friend groups that did not lead me closer to the Lord, and I often found myself stressing over trying to find friends that would lead me closer to the Lord. Towards the end of my sophomore year, I began being very anxious about how my next few years in high school would be. As my sister was about to graduate, one of my best friends was moving out of state, and it seemed that all of my friend groups were falling apart. Many things in my life were changing, and I realized that the Lord is the only constant. As that summer went on, the Lord made it clear to me that He will provide for me no matter the circumstance. In ways I could never imagine, He has provided me with friends who have led me closer to Him and pointed me towards Him while I am struggling. As that summer made me grow in my faith more than I ever have, I realized that the things I once would become anxious over, I could trust that the Lord has taken over to be completely in His hands. As I began to grow closer with the Lord, I became more aware of my brokenness and the attacks of the enemy, most clearly shown by the pride that was surfacing in my heart that played out as considering myself better than others because of my walk with the Lord. As my thoughts still wander and I still have to actively fight the sin in my heart, it is such a blessing to have my hope in something bigger. When I begin to spiral on my intrusive thoughts, Psalm 91 is a great reminder for me. Two verses in this psalm that speak to me are verses 15 through 16, which say, "When He calls to me, I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue Him and honor Him. With long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation." This verse reminds me that no matter how my life may turn out, the Lord will always stay the same and be with me through every step, providing me with everything He knows I need. If you relate to any part of my story, I would encourage you that the Lord has a love for you that will never go away, no matter how far you might feel from Him. Trusting that He is with us, no matter the craziness of life or the way our life might change, will provide an everlasting peace. I would also encourage you to focus on the promises that the Lord has told instead of the lies that we can sometimes tell ourselves. There is no such thing as being too far gone to experience the Lord's goodness. As I am still learning to take every thought captive and rest in the Lord's promises, it is so encouraging to know that the Lord meets us in that and is kind and patient towards us no matter what. His faithfulness always remains. I wish I could say that my life is going great, but honestly, the only thing that has become great in my life is the Lord's work in it. It has been my constant reminder that through some of my toughest moments, He is right beside me, being patient with me through every step. Now life with Him has become so peaceful and joyful, as I can now experience the full freedom that is found when walking with Him. Thank you for listening to my testimony.
Thank you, Molly. I love to pray for you. God, thank you so much for Molly Zena, and thank you for your kindness, goodness, and grace that is on display in her life. Thank you for how your Spirit has allowed her to look to you and run to you in moments of anxiety, fear, or intrusive thoughts. Thank you for your Spirit's continual drawing of herself back to you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the strength of community, and thank you for your grace to even allow her to share her story with this room. And I pray, Lord, that as she was sharing, that there would be someone in this room who was encouraged and inspired and even challenged to bring their anxieties to you, knowing that you care about what they're going through and what they're experiencing. And so, God, thank you for Molly, and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate you, Molly. You're free. I'll come sit right there. Yeah, you're good. Okay. I'll come sit over here so I stop like reverberating on this speaker that I'm right under. All right. Here's where I'd love to start. If you have your Bible, You can turn there to Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18. It's also up on the screen, but I'd love for you to highlight it, write it in your curriculum booklet, whatever it might be, because these two verses, I think, are essential for what we're discussing and addressing tonight. So Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18. And excuse me if I cough randomly. I don't know what is going on, but I've been coughing for like a week.
Allergies?
Maybe. I hope I should take some allergy medicine and see what happens. Okay, Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18. It says this: "The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help." Let me read that again. "The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." And so maybe you're in this room and you feel like you are in trouble. You feel like you're brokenhearted. You feel like your spirit is crushed. And maybe you're like, it's not that deep necessarily, but I really do want to experience a closer connection with the Lord, or I want his help through this this habit or this issue that I feel stuck in. And wherever you find yourself on that spectrum, if you will, here's what's true. The Lord hears you when you call to him for help, and he rescues you from your troubles. He's close to you in your moments of feeling brokenhearted, and he rescues those who are crushed in spirit. And so that verse kind of leads us into our first step in the walking the steps towards healing. The H stands for help. Help is a realization that we are broken and powerless to heal on our own. We admit that we desperately need help. We are broken and powerless to heal on our own, and that we admit that we desperately need some help. So if you've been tracking along with your homework from this last week, we had three lessons over the course of our homework from this last week, and they're this. The first one is uncovering brokenness. And the idea behind that is, who is the we in the idea that we are all broken and powerless to help ourselves? The we includes every single one of us, me, the step group leaders, and every single one of you students. All of us are broken. We're broken in some way. We're broken emotionally. We're broken relationally. We're broken physically. We're broken spiritually. And say again? Mentally, yes. Mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically, spiritually. There's so many ways that we obviously experience brokenness in this life. Lesson one, so page 16 and 17, kind of talk about that. And it highlights a verse, Romans 8, verses 22 and 23, that I'd love to read for us. It says this: "For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering." So we're all broken because this world is broken. We're all broken because sin has infiltrated every one of our hearts, and we are prone to run away from God. We're prone to seek our own way. We're prone to reject God's way and say, "I know better." Even if we never actually say those words, we prove those words with our actions. Every single one of us is broken. And then the second lesson of this past week talks about understanding the root of that. That from the beginning of time, when God created a perfect creation with a perfect humanity, Adam and Eve, and he put them in the garden with everything that they needed and gave them one restriction. Hey, you can enjoy everything in this garden except this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God gave them the opportunity to have the chance to choose to obey him, to choose to love him, because love isn't just a feeling. Love is also an action, right? And so God gave them the opportunity to choose to love him, to choose to obey him. So they weren't robots. They were given an opportunity of choice. And Adam and Eve listened to the serpent. And he told them, hey, don't listen to God. His way is not best. Let me tell you what's really true. And because they listened to his lies, they partook of this fruit, which God had forbidden them to partake of. And from that very moment, our relationship with God as human beings was severed, was broken. And from that moment of disobedience and on throughout all of history, every single human being that has ever been born has been born broken, has been born with a will and a passion to run away from God and towards their own desires. And God's word tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the third lesson of the week taught us about the opportunity that we have to start on the road towards healing. That we first need to realize and admit to ourselves that we need help. That we're broken and powerless to heal on our own. We can't get to God. We can't experience the healing in our lives that we desire to experience on our own. We need help, and we need help apart from ourselves. So, to kind of illustrate that lesson before we go to our step groups, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever needed help but tried to convince yourself that you didn't? Have you ever needed help with something, but you tried to convince yourself, I don't really need help, I'm just going to figure this out on my own? I would imagine that every single one of us in this room, your answer to that question, have you ever needed help but tried to convince yourself that you didn't, is yes. From the time you were a little kid to even this very moment, there are certain circumstances in your life where everything would have gone a different way if you had just acknowledged and realized that you needed help. Let me share a story with you. Here's a picture of my only moment in time where I had to get stitches. So on my right elbow, right here, I always tell people, because I'm from the Caribbean, I always tell people I got bit by a shark. And I got these 7 stitches from this shark bite. And most people believe that story because I'm from the Caribbean, of course. I'm around the beach. Maybe there's probably a shark there somewhere. But it's not from a shark bite. It's from me not acknowledging that I needed help and that I needed help outside of myself. So let me tell you the story. So I was around 12 years old, and I was at home by myself in the afternoon. I think my brother was somewhere else. I don't know where my parents were, maybe with him. But I was at home alone. And the first problem was, I needed glasses, but I didn't want to admit that I needed glasses. So I was the kid who was sitting at the back of the class in school. I didn't have glasses. Back then, we had chalkboards. I don't even know what you have in school these days. But I couldn't see. So this was me at the back of the class, trying to be cool with my friends. But like as the teacher was writing on the board, I was like squinting really hard to see because I literally couldn't see. I'm so blind. But I didn't want to admit that I needed help, that I needed to go to a doctor, to an optometrist, do an eye test, get glasses, or whatever. So that was the first problem. I couldn't see. So I was at home, and I had finished my homework, and I just wanted to watch TV. So I was watching Nickelodeon. You guys don't even know what Nickelodeon is. But anyways, I was watching it. And the couches in my living room were really far away from the TV. And so because I couldn't see the TV, I went and I sat on our coffee table. Our coffee table was made of glass, like the top of it was glass. So I'm sitting on this coffee table, chilling at home, watching Nickelodeon, and I'm laughing at whatever is happening on whatever the TV show was. And I fall backwards, the glass coffee table breaks, and I fall through the coffee table, and the glass shatters. And I don't know what has happened as yet, but my first thought is my mom is going to kill me because I was sitting on the coffee table and I broke the glass coffee table. And so I run to the kitchen to grab a broom to sweep up the broken glass. And as I turn around from the kitchen to look at the living room, there's a trail of blood all along the floor. And at this point, I still don't even know what had happened. I didn't know I was cut. I was like, where is this blood coming from? So I'm looking around. You know those moments where you're just hyped up on adrenaline so you can't even really feel anything? So I look around and I look on my elbow and I am just, I mean, blood is gushing, truly. And I think to myself, I got this. This isn't that bad. This is just a little cut. So I go into the bathroom and I try to like rinse off the cut to see the damage. And I bend my elbow like this under the sink. And I kid you not, you know, this bone that's right here is literally protruding from my elbow. I know it's graphic. And I was convincing myself that I was okay. Was I okay? Absolutely not. I needed help. But I was trying to convince myself that I didn't need help. I needed glasses, which is my first problem, and I didn't want to admit that I needed help. With my arm bleeding out, I was trying to convince myself that I was okay, that it wasn't that bad. But I really and truly needed help. All along the way, I was resistant to admitting that I needed help and asking for help. And here's the reality, you're probably the very same way. You don't want to bother anyone with your issue or your struggle or your challenge. You don't want to make it too big of a deal. You want to feel or be capable of handling it all on your own. That's a natural, normal, broken human response, to rely on ourselves, to think that we can do it all on our own. But the truth is, if I had admitted that I needed help earlier, guess what? I would have gone to the optometrist, I would have gotten glasses, I wouldn't be sitting on that glass coffee table, it would have never broken, and I would have never found myself in this scenario where the coffee table's broken, there's blood everywhere, and I'm still trying to convince myself that I was okay. And the truth is, my pride in that moment and my self-reliance was keeping me from experiencing healing, right? That makes sense. And not only that, my pride and my self-reliance was digging me deeper into a pit of hurt and difficulty. If I had realized and admitted my help in the first place, I wouldn't have been in this entire situation. And so I tell you that story to back up Psalm 34 and ask you this question. What if the start of your journey toward healing was you tonight? Truly stopping and saying to yourself, I need help. Whatever my struggle is, whatever my hurt is, whatever my difficulty in life is, I need help. I can't do it on my own. I can't figure it out on my own. I need help. We're broken and powerless to heal on our own. We admit that we desperately need help. And so sometimes we refuse to admit our need, and sometimes we have a hard time trusting that God is good. Sometimes we think we can handle it on our own, and sometimes we just don't think we deserve God's help. And all the while, God sees us in our need, and he longs to help us. Remember Psalm 34, 17 and 18? Let me read it again. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. So there I was in my living room with a bloody arm, blood on the floor, broken glass. And at that very moment, thank God, my parents got home. And they proceeded to help me get cleaned up. They cleaned up the floor. They cleaned up the glass. They took me to the hospital. I got 7 stitches in my arm, and I got the help that I need. Now, if you're looking at that picture and you're like, why do your stitches look so weird? It's because I was 12 years old and I was dumb, and I started to pull the stitches up myself before it healed fully. And so that's why it's such a wide wound still. But it's such a reminder for me, truly, of how I tried to do things on my own, of how I tried to figure it out on my own, when really what I needed to do was stop and acknowledge and realize that I needed help, help that was outside of myself to bring me healing and hope. So I want to leave you with this picture, if you will. In that story, I'm in my house, there's blood on the floor, there's blood on my arms, I'm in serious trouble, there's glass everywhere. The condition of the house is pretty bad, right? So I want you to think about your life right now and consider this question. As you look at your life, as you look at maybe the reason you're even here at Regeneration for Students, what is the state of your house? What is the proverbial broken glass on the ground? What is the proverbial blood that's on the floor? What's the brokenness in your life that you've just been trying to fix on your own? Or that you've just been trying to ignore that you need help? What is the state of your house? Maybe that's a good question to even be reflecting on right now. And then when you head into your step groups, and as you're walking through the discussion and the curriculum and all of that, just saying, hey, here's the state of my house. Here's what's broken. Here's the challenges. Here's where I am tempted and prone to rely on myself and on my own strength. So as you look at your life right now, what is the state of your house? Okay, that's it for the Devo for tonight. Here's a couple of reminders. Excuse me. A couple of reminders. Next Monday night, we won't meet for Regeneration for Students because it is Labor Day. I always get Labor Day and Memorial Day mixed up. It's Labor Day, so we won't be here next Monday. But we want to encourage you to continue walking through the curriculum. So the next phase is E, which is entirely trust God. In the acronym healing, H is help. I'm broken and helpless and powerless to heal on my own. And E is entirely trust God. And so the next 15 pages of your curriculum are helping you process through and think through this idea of entirely entrusting your life to God, believing that a powerful and loving God exists. We turn our lives completely over to Him. And so while we won't meet next Monday, I want to encourage you to keep working through your homework and pretend like we're going to meet next Monday. Does that make sense? So keep on going through your homework and act like we're going to be here next Monday, because guess what? By the time the next Monday comes, you're already done. And you even have a whole other week to continue getting ahead even in your book work. I know that as the semester goes on and maybe school gets a little busier or life gets a little bit more hectic, it can be easy to fall behind. And so if you have an opportunity like we do now to get ahead in your book work, I highly recommend it. Okay? So for the next time we meet, which is Monday, September the 9th, make sure that you have pages 31 through 46 done. If you're already behind right now and you didn't finish the three lessons from this last week, I encourage you to go ahead and review those lessons and read the letters to yourself and maybe even write out your letter to yourself as well. And so we'll talk through that coming up on September the 9th. All right, so from here, you're going to go to your step groups. Here's the instruction. When you leave this room, on your right side, there's a table with your name and your room number. Our room numbers have switched up a little bit since last week as more people have joined, and we've tried to make sure that everyone is in a group where you feel safe and known and are able to share. And so grab your name tag, and it'll show you your room number on the name tag, and then just stick that name tag in your booklet so that every week you just know that's the room that I'm going to. So on the way out of here, grab your name tag, head to your step group rooms, and your step group leaders will lead you in that time. All right, we'll see you guys soon.